5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Model Moon!
The dark side of the Hoddle Moon. Immutably amazing crypto wisdom. On this episode of Dark Side of the Hoddle Moon, Josh and Blockade react to the Pomp versus Peter Schiff crypto debate. What'll come out on top? Bitcoin or gold? And who will come out on top? Pomp, Schiff, or Blockade? You are now orbiting the dark side of the Hoddle Moon.
Copy. This show is proudly sponsored by Salamantech's point-of-sale devices and software. Tired of all the headaches dealing with cryptocurrency? You don't know what a private key is? You don't want to deal with exchanges? Well, if you're a business and you just want to run your business without thinking about cryptocurrency headaches, look no further than Salamantech. We provide point-of-sale software that allows you to get paid in fiat currency, that's euros, allowing your customers to pay in cryptocurrency, that's BTC, ETH, and a host of others.
Stand by.
Dark Side of the Hoddle Moon proudly uses the audio services of Eye the Sound. Beyond the amazing sound production, they've really been a sounding board, pun intended, for our show, giving us great customer support and constructive criticism and feedback. So if you want a little bit more personalized attention you're not going to get from a bigger provider, check out iThesound.com.
Hoddle Moon!
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Dark Side of the Hoddle Moon. I'm Blockade.
I'm Josh Igo.
And Josh, I'm excited about today's episode. We're going to do a reaction episode to the big Pomp and Peter Schiff debate on CryptoTrader. You excited?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm in a YOLO state of mind, so I'm going to give people some hot takes today. All right. So let's just go from beginning to end and see how it goes. So opening statements seem pretty... pretty basic, especially from Pomp. And I think I like that Pomp is like big into crypto and Bitcoin, but he's not a hater of gold. You know, there's so many people in crypto that are like, they love Bitcoin or they hate gold. There's people who love gold and hate Bitcoin. Me personally, I like both of them. What about you?
Yeah, I like both of them, especially, well, let's be honest, Bitcoin was the first cryptocurrency that really was able to replicate many of the properties of gold. I think there were many attempts in the past to do so. We talked about them in previous episodes, but they actually managed to pull it off. And what are the properties of gold, Cade, that make gold such a great part of your investment portfolio?
Well, I think Peter Schiff does make some good points. For example, gold's been used as money for thousands of years. It has intrinsic value, and you can't just print it on a printing press. There's a limited supply, you know, although some people think we're going to be mining gold on asteroids, but I think that's quite a ways off in the future. So I think gold's a pretty solid investment.
Yeah, it's scarce, just like Bitcoin is scarce. Bitcoin has... you know, a hard cap, and gold is limited in supply. Like Peter Schiff mentions later on in the episode, he actually said that all of the gold that has been mined so far on Earth, it can fit into an Olympic-sized swimming pool. So that is quite interesting. So it's
is that true? That seems hard to believe to me. I didn't fact check that, but it seems kind of unbelievable almost.
It seems like it's really, really small. Area, yeah, but you've got to think it's volume. It's not just length and width, it's also height, so it's cubed rather than I think it's interesting because I was filling a swimming pool up for my son the other day because it was nice and sunny in England, and I let him have a little paddling pool, so I put the hose pipe on into the pool and I thought, oh, I'll be filling in like 10 minutes. I checked 10 minutes later and it was just barely a puddle. So you know, I think the human mind is not quite capable of appreciating how large a volume it can be. But yeah, it's still relatively scarce, the amount of gold on Earth. Anyway, yeah. Let's get into the episode a bit more.
Yeah, so you kind of touched on it. And Peter Schiff, his opening statement, he basically said, like what you said, that Bitcoin's replicating the qualities of gold, and that before gold was money, gold was a commodity. And gold has intrinsic value beyond being used as money. You know, use it for jewelry, for electronics, and other things like that. So I thought that was fairly reasonable. And should we move on?
Sure.
All right. So the first thing that I want to talk about that Peter Schiff brought up was Palm said something about $410 billion being exchanged over the Bitcoin network, I believe, in the previous year. And Peter Schiff said, how do we know they're not spoofing the volume? And I think Peter is completely clueless here, because I don't think he understands how the Bitcoin network works, because there's no way you're going to be spoofing that volume with the fees. It's not like when you move Bitcoin on the network that it's a feeless transaction. Obviously, when the blocks got full, the fees were actually pretty crazy. So even now, you're still paying money to move Bitcoin back and forth. It's not like an email where moving it around is free. So I think he's completely clueless when he thinks, how do we know they're not spoofing volume? Would you be spending, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars to spoof volume for what purpose, you know?
Yeah, I actually think probably he was just confused, and he was talking about exchange volume that we know full well many exchanges manipulate their trading volume to get higher up in the rankings on
certain
sites.
But I think
he was confused.
Pomp was talking about, I think, the Bitcoin network. You can see the volume that's been transacted on the Bitcoin network.
Yeah, exactly. I think that this highlighted Schiff's perhaps misunderstanding of how it works. He doesn't understand what an on-chain transaction actually is. He maybe thinks that every time that you buy and sell Bitcoin on an exchange, that is a transaction, when in fact it's nothing to do with the Bitcoin network. That's completely custodial and nothing to do with actual blockchain.
Yeah, I think you're being generous to Peter there, because I think he was talking about the blockchain network, but it's possible he was talking about the exchanges.
I mean, he probably just still doesn't understand the technology, because if he truly grasped it, I think that he would see it as, gold 2.0, as many people do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And and then Peter kind of went at Pomp and said, well, yeah, Bitcoin, people aren't using it. And he said they're using it for $410 billion worth of volume. And he says, yeah, people just HODL it. And I thought Pomp made a good point. Well, that's the same use case as gold. People aren't using gold all the time. They're HODLing gold just like they're HODLing Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's true. I also wanted to backtrack a bit, and you could talk about, or we could state how pleased you could see that crypto man Rand was by having these two heavyweights on his show. He looked like the cat that got the cream. Like, he just couldn't help smiling from ear to ear, having these two guys that obviously know their stuff on his show, helping to bring legitimacy to not only his channel and his show, but also to the Bitcoin, blockchain, cryptocurrency debate in general. But one thing I did think was a little bit over the top was the dramatic music in the background. Like, did you hear that at the start? I thought it was too much, like it was trying to be some kind of a presidential debate of some description, when in reality they were in a studio on and it was pre-recorded, and it was just about as high production as this show. So I thought it was
You definitely caught some details that I missed. I didn't notice the music or Rand's facial expressions, but I think hyping it up on the mainstream media, they want views, so they're going to do whatever they can to hype it up. And yeah, I was too focused on watching Peter and Pomp and looking at their facial expressions to even notice Rand, but maybe I'll have to rewatch it and see if I can notice that more.
Well, nevertheless, it was good to see these topics being discussed on CNBC, even if it's CNBC Africa and not actually on the main American network. But I'm sure that they will be able to use clips.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if I've ever talked to Ram, but I've run into him a few times at crypto conferences, and you know, he's got his little setup there at the conferences, recording live at different conferences in Boston and LA and Miami. All right. I mean,
One thing that they both talked about, I think Pomp is the guy who mentioned this, is that the economy might be going into a recessive period. And yesterday, well, actually 2 days ago, the Fed cut interest rates by 25 basis points. So that's like 0.25%. So that is interesting that they both can see that the economy's in a slight downturn with the Fed cutting interest rates. And they both view their particular favored solution to this problem for consumers or the general public being either gold on Schiff's part or Bitcoin on Pomp's part, which is, you know, have a hedge against the bad economy.
Yeah. And I think also Pomp says have both. I think he did say have gold and Bitcoin. You know, I don't know exactly what percentages he recommends. Yeah. And I thought it was kind of interesting. Pomp made some use cases about, you know, what, you know, how Bitcoin is so useful. And Schiff kind of counters that there's, you know, there's, you can electronically transfer the ownership of gold, but at least now, you know, at least with gold money, I think it's not on a blockchain. So you have to trust the third party.
Yeah, this was a very lengthy and key part of the debate, really, when you think about it. So Peter Schiff got out his gold card, which is actually made of gold, which was quite cool. And then, you know, Crypto Man ran, pretended to pocket it, which was a bit cheeky, I thought. And I didn't really like that part. But anyway, so gold money card, that is obviously a big part of what Peter Schiff at Schiff Capital promotes. And I don't know if he owns gold money or if he's a partner with them and he's a massive affiliate. But either way, what the crux of this is they have to trust a third party and many third parties in order to basically spend your gold. And the gold isn't physically moving. They're just moving. They're basically acting as the ledger, so to speak. And you're trusting gold money to accurately portray who's the owner of that gold. So the gold is staying in the actual vault. It's not moving anywhere. And then on a digital ledger somewhere, probably on like an SQL database or MongoDB, who knows how they're actually storing it. But it's not on a blockchain. It's not verified by a massive network. It's not as secure technologically, cryptographically as Bitcoin is. But you are trusting people to secure your funds and to execute that transaction. Now, Peter Schiff rightly said that's what capitalism is all about, you know, third parties and reputation. Without your reputation, capitalism really wouldn't work, because we're basically staking our reputation in order to gain more trust so that people continue to use our services so we can get richer. So, yeah, interesting. What are your thoughts on that? I love going on rants, Kate. I just can't help it.
Yeah, I like it. I don't have much to add to that. Let's move on. So we kind of talked, like you mentioned earlier, you know, they both kind of see the same financial outlook. And, you know, you want to put your money in something that's going to maintain its value or appreciate in value. So they both see the U.S. dollar and maybe perhaps the global economy kind of transitioning the same way. But they have kind of slightly different solutions. I thought Pomp brought up a good point that between 1971, when the U.S. went off the gold standard, to now, gold has 40x'd, and Bitcoin in the last 2 years or so has 40x'd. And Pomp brought up in a different interview that although gold is 40x'd since 1971, you know, it's also maybe because the dollar has been debased over that time period as well. So even though it's 40x'd, maybe it's actually, you know, 25x'd or 30x'd because the dollar's gone down in value versus its purchasing power. But I thought he made a really good point there, and I don't think Peter had much of an argument against what Pomp said.
Yeah, there is no argument with data at the end of the day. Like, gold has increased 40x, but in a much shorter period of time, so has Bitcoin. So there's no real argument. I think it comes back to what we discussed off air, which was that many of the things that Schiff, you know, argues as the weaknesses of Bitcoin can be exactly levied at gold. I mean, gold is a scarce resource, and so is Bitcoin. But gold's only as valuable as what people are willing to pay for it, really.
Definitely.
You know, and there are some advantages that Bitcoin has that gold doesn't have, like we just alluded to with the with how hard it is for it to be traded or transferred ownership of from one person to another without having to trust so many other parties. So overall, I'm on the side of Bitcoin, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
I think that you are too, but I definitely agree that gold has its place. And, you know, gold should be in everyone's mind when they think about what good store value is supposed to be.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me personally, I'm not going to say where, when, or how much, but I definitely have some silver, some gold, some crypto. I have a lot of crypto because I'm a believer, but I definitely have some precious metals as well. And actually, already at this point in the debate, it's maybe 15 minutes in, I was already getting annoyed at Peter because I felt like Pomp brought up a lot of different points, a lot of good points. And like Peter just said the same point over and over again. And I wrote in my note, just repetitive. He just hammered the intrinsic point over and over again. Gold has intrinsic value, you know, jewelry, electronics. He just went to this one argument over and over again, and I felt like he didn't even respond to most of Pomp's arguments or points. He just didn't know what to do, and honestly, maybe it's because he's clueless about Bitcoin, but Schiff just seems like a horrible debater. Maybe he's better at other topics, but I wasn't impressed at all.
Well, he's definitely better at other topics. I think on this particular issue, and in general, he is a promoter of his own product. So I think he's willing to go on any show at any time to discuss, you know, Schiff Capital and gold money and get it in front of a new audience for free. So he doesn't really necessarily care about the intellectual integrity of the debate because he did ignore so many of the key points. And he already knows what the key points are going to be because he's had so many of these discussions before, continues to ignore them. And just kind of downplay some of the positive aspects of Bitcoin. Focus on gold, where really, like gold money and Bitcoin, in the sense of being used as a spendable asset, they have the exact same properties, and that is you need to transact in US dollars still. So even when you've got your Coinbase card or your BitPay card as a consumer, the merchant is only going to accept US dollars in the United States. They're not going to accept your Bitcoin and BitPay or whatever you are using. Just helps the merchant get the US dollars and helps you spend your hard asset, which is what gold money does. So all of the arguments that he uses against Bitcoin are exactly the same applied to gold. So it's just like a contradictory position. I think he sees Bitcoin rightly as, you know, a competitor to his business, so he's worried about it, whereas I think that Pomp is clearly intellectually more let's say honest. He's philosophically honest, and he is also, like, he knows that gold is useful, and he's happy to, you know, say it, whereas Schiff just completely denies anything that's valuable or good about Bitcoin.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, obviously Pomp acknowledging the obvious that gold is valuable, I think makes his point better and makes his case stronger. And then they go into third parties. And I think Pomp made a good point. With gold money, you have to trust third parties. You have to trust that they're keeping their ledger and, you know, crossing all their T's and dotting all their I's. You got to make sure that the banks are secure and the vaults are secure. And yeah, you know, maybe Peter Schiff is right that, you know, maybe it's a trusted company, but still you're putting some trust in there. So I think you're putting, you know, with crypto, I think being able to secure it yourself, you don't have to trust anyone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the only, you're not trusting a person, you're trusting, you know, math, which is great. Or maths, as we say in Britain.
Yeah,
math, and I, with an S.
Yeah, I don't know why maths is plural. I'll take that mystery to my grave, I think.
Do you say mathematic?
Mathematics.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, when maths. you Yeah, when you shorten it, you I don't know, maybe take the S out. And but Peter Schiff countered that, oh, with Bitcoin, you have to trust the miners and the whales. You don't have to trust the whales, because I don't, for me personally, as you know, I'm a HODL investor. I don't care what the whales do. I'm just going to keep accumulating it. And if the whales dump a bunch on the market, you know, maybe I'll pop in the tether and, you know, buy the dip, and maybe I'll just keep accumulating it on the dips. But I'm not worried about the whales. And as far as the miners, there are some issues with, you know, pretty big mining pools, but the 51% attack, I think it's so unlikely, and it would just destroy what the miners are making so much money. I think it's counter, you know, Bitcoin was designed to incentivize people to be honest actors. So, you know, I think Schiff's argument there is pretty weak.
Well, that is true, but he does say that, you know, hodlers are just hoping to get rich. So I think that that's true too. I mean, a lot of people are holding digital assets for the future value of those things in order to potentially gain some type of material benefit from it in the future. I don't think people are holding it forever in perpetuity to just hold it for a laugh or something like that. Mm-hmm. There is the, at least, you know, let's be honest, people would love to make, you know, make a return on their investment, be able to invest some US dollars today or British pounds and know that in the future it'll be worth more than what they put in, and at least beat inflation, and if not more, which, you know, Bitcoin has definitely done. So I think it is right. I mean, but that's the same for gold holders. Gold, mm-hmm. People that hold gold are holding gold because they want to beat inflation and don't want to see their savings eroded. And Bitcoin is just a more convenient way of doing that.
Yeah. And I think when Pomp talked about, oh, you have to trust people holding your gold, he said, well, it can be custodial or non-custodial. But if you're storing gold at home, it can be a security risk. You know, I think it's pretty easy, a little bit easier to store crypto securely and secretly versus gold. You know, you can store it in your head if you want. And I thought it was funny when Peter Schiff said, you know, he keep going back to the intrinsic value argument. And Peter Schiff said, Bitcoin's not providing anything. And Pomp said, it's providing a super secure network. And then I think Peter Schiff just talked about intrinsic value again. He didn't have really anything to say about it.
Well, there is a term called top spinning. I don't know if you've ever heard that. You know, top spinning, it's a political term.
I'm more familiar with top spinning when it comes to table tennis. I was quite the table tennis player in Korea, just crushing it. But tell me about this other meaning.
It's just where you just say whatever the question is, you just answer your own question. You just ignore what the question was, and then you just go back to your point that you've rehearsed, and just that's what politicians, the best ones, do. That is that they say, oh, they're absolutely right with whatever the interviewer just said, then talk about their own point. Now, that is what Schiff is basically doing.
No, I mean, if you edited out Pomp and Rand, it would just be Peter Schiff talking to himself and going on a monologue. And that's basically what he did the whole time.
Well, yeah, but that shows that he is an expert when it comes to promoting his brand, because mm-hmm. Peter Schiff, you know, is a well-known person in the financial industry now. Not only because of his prediction that he got right in 2007, but because he's so good at selling himself. Because you've got to remember that he's been talking about the US economy crashing ever since 2007. And it's now 12 years along. The stock market's doing well. The American economy is doing fairly well. And yet it's not like laughed off TV audiences, TV shows everywhere. Because if you just are good at delivering your message, you wear a nice suit, you shave up, you look good on TV, you speak coherently as he does. And let's not, I don't know how to say this. Let's not downplay what Peter Schiff does. I think he actually is good at promoting Peter Schiff and good at promoting gold.
Yeah.
And he's good at doing what he what he wants to achieve. So I think that's fairly smart. But when it comes to having a actual philosophical debate, I don't think that's what he thinks he's doing.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. He is really good at selling himself. I think he's so good at selling himself, he's become a gold money sellout.
I don't think he's a sellout. I think he's just a businessman that is doing, you know, the best for himself. He's got a philosophy which is fundamentally correct about how the US economy works in general. Like, there's a lot of debt in the economy. The whole of the US economy is run on debt. There's too much spending by the government. But his solution is, you know, buy Peter Schiff products.
So, yeah. So. Well, I mean, honestly, like, I think me and you both like Peter Schiff. Maybe I'm a little fired up here, and maybe I'll cool down in a week after I think about a little bit more. But yeah, the debate was just hard for me to watch a little bit. Let's talk a little bit more about what Pomp said about Bitcoin. I thought he went on a good little speech himself, and he countered that, you know, Bitcoin has network effects, just like Facebook or Instagram, Google, YouTube, and that's going to lock it in from, you know, other competitors. And he also made a good point that I don't think I've heard mentioned in a while, that money is a viral product. You know, it's more viral than almost anything because, like you said, people want to make money, people want to get rich. And he also talked about when it comes to the network effect, there's lock-in. You know what I mean? Like, some people are frustrated with YouTube, with the adpocalypse and demonetization, but it's really hard to leave to go to, you know, DTube or BitChute because of that network effect and lock-in, it's hard to leave. So I think Pomp made some really good points in support of Bitcoin.
Yeah, he did. I mean, actually, I've been involved in some projects that are trying to, you know, compete in the space with YouTube. And honestly, the network effect is the number one obstacle to overcome. And I think that that's the advantage of Bitcoin, which is it's already got the network effect. He also talked about, you know, there's a non-correlation between how Bitcoin is doing and how the rest of the markets are doing. It's not pegged to those things. In fact, it's got an asymmetric upside, which is good. And as I was watching it, I was like jotting down notes about, all right, how could I restructure my own portfolio again? Like, talked about portfolio construction, and it's smart to have some gold, and it's also smart to have some Bitcoin. It's just he wasn't really anti-gold. He was just like, gold's good, and so is Bitcoin. You know?
Yeah, and I think even Pomp acknowledged there is a little bit of risk to Bitcoin, but it's, I would say, fairly small. And also, there's still such a huge upside that it's worth it to have it in your portfolio for sure, no matter what.
Yeah, man. So this topic, because Schiff was so repetitive, it makes it hard for us to really analyze much deeper, you know, because he was Mr. Everything is a nail with his hammer of, you know, gold is the only thing that you should ever hedge against inflation with. And he wasn't really engaging with the points that Pomp was raising. You know,
what do you think about, you mentioned earlier that, you know, people, maybe they want to make money, they're a little greedy. What do you think of Peter Schiff's greater fool fallacy argument?
Look, it's fairly true. To a certain extent, you could argue that that was in play at the end of 2017. There was people getting into Bitcoin just because they wanted to just sell it once they realized.
I had no idea what it was. They were FOMOing in really hard.
Yeah, so there is an example of that actually being the case. But I don't think that you can then say, all right, that's the only thing that Bitcoin will ever be or what it is. It definitely wasn't set up with that in mind. I think it's ignoring the cryptographic consensus that goes in, the proof of work, which is fundamentally revolutionary about what it is. Because Satoshi Nakamoto, whoever he was, came up with a system that would enable you to have a third ledger that the public could see, enable peers to transact. It's just brilliant, actually. And I think that Peter Schiff completely ignores that fact. It's something that is fundamentally a game changer, which is head and shoulders above gold.
Yeah, and I think Palm touched on it a little bit. Obviously, this was about a store of value and a medium of exchange. But yeah, Palm said it has so many other use cases besides that. I want to go back to kind of what you said. I think Palm made a really good point that Bitcoin is a non-correlating asset, and also that it has an asymmetric upside that can really kind of, if it goes up to 100K like he thinks, or even higher like other people think in a few years, he was saying it could go 10X, 50X, 100X. Best case scenario with gold is it maybe goes 3 or 4X. So it's made sense to have some of it in your portfolio, even if you think it's a 25% chance it's going to go up. If you crunch the numbers, it definitely makes sense to have it in your portfolio.
Yeah. There's a great book that I listened to, probably 2015 or 16. I can't remember when it was released. I think it's called Crypto Assets. Have you read that book?
No.
Crypto Assets. It's by Chris something. I can't remember his name. And I'd recommend everyone get that book. I'm going to get it on Amazon right now. Yeah, there we go. Chris Berninski. It was released. Can't release in 2017 because I was listening to it in 2016 when I was traveling.
Yeah, maybe it's a re-release. Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes if we remember to.
Yeah, because he had a great point about the adoption of cryptocurrencies and how the network effect is going to be even more powerful than you can imagine, and also that even if you don't really think too much about it, it's worth having a small amount in your portfolio because, what's the downside?
Yeah, and it's also, some people think of it as like an insurance, a hedge against runaway inflation. It's even if you're just more of a fiat holder and gold holder, if there is runaway inflation, that small amount is going to be worth so much that it's worth it to just be financially secure in the future in case something really happens bad in the financial markets. Let's talk about, I think Pump had another good little rant where he talked about four strong points of Bitcoin, that it's cryptographically, it has cryptographic security, it's got portability, it's transferable, and it's basically non-seizable. And I think on all four of those points, it beats gold. Obviously, gold doesn't have cryptographic security. When it comes to portability, you just need your phone or your wallet, and it's easy to transport all over the world, and transferable, it's easier to transfer, and it's harder to seize. I've mentioned a few times before that some countries have capital controls and millions, billions of dollars is leaving that country through Bitcoin. I don't think that would be possible with gold. It would get seized at the airport, seized at the border, but you can't stop Bitcoin.
Yeah, at one point in the debate, he asked Peter, saying, all right, if I want to actually get the physical gold and a transfer, if I want to, even if it's $50,000 worth of gold, or even a smaller amount, the physical nature of it, the intrinsic value, so to speak, the tangible nature of it, is actually a hindrance when it comes to, being transferable and without being seized by the authorities. It's not portable, and it therefore is costly, even if it is a relatively lightweight metal. In order to transport it securely, you're going to have to involve more and more contracted out third parties in order to ensure that the transfer goes down smoothly and without being, stolen. So Bitcoin is absolutely a massive game changer, knowing that I can, or any cryptocurrency for that matter, knowing that I can transfer wealth in a matter of minutes across the globe without having to worry about any of those factors.
Yeah,
makes it advantageous. I mean, it also makes it scary for governments, but governments seem to be actually reacting quite well overall. The UK has recently said that BTC and Ethereum, you know, they're not going to be treated in a way that is criminal or anything like that. I think it was this week. And I don't think that they're even going to be taxed in any unusual way. So it's pretty cool. They are. I will have to dig into that a little bit more and talk. We could do a show in the future about the differences between the way that the United States, the United Kingdom, and also, let's say, South Korea are handling cryptocurrencies. And then we could have a look around the different parts of the world, places that have got clear legislation. Where are they? I think that some of the places with legislation right now might not be the best places in the future, because many of them have got in because they see, you know, it's a potential to be the shovel sellers in the gold rush, rather than having the, like, the long-term view of like helping the ecosystem.
Yeah, yeah, so. Definitely. But let's go back to our reaction vid. One thing I thought that was interesting was Peter Schiff said Bitcoin doesn't have a use case, and Pomp said, how about as a medium of exchange? And Peter Schiff immediately says, that doesn't count as a use case. What? How does medium of exchange not count as a use case? I just wanted to pull my hair out. I thought that was maybe the most ridiculous thing he said during the whole debate. A medium of exchange isn't a use case? Josh, you have a reaction to that?
Well, it's funny, but, you know, it's just, I bet if you asked Peter Schiff, what's one of the use cases of gold? It'd be like a medium of exchange.
So, that doesn't count as a use case, Peter Schiff. What are you talking about?
You know, I'm not too critical about him because I don't think he is being, you know, intellectually honest here in his debate. I think he's smart enough to know what he's doing. He's obviously smart enough to understand the position that Pomp has. And I think he's basically trolling the audience and just promoting, you know, Shift Gold and goldmoney.com.
Yeah.
I really don't think he fully believes everything that he says. But I do actually think he misunderstands the intrinsic value of the cryptographically secure nature of the transactions. I don't think he fully understands the public ledger aspect or the decentralized aspect. I think he doesn't understand the difference between, let's say, decentralized and distributed systems. I think that he still believes that Bitcoin is just a distributed system that's, you know, permissioned or something like that. I don't think he fully understands the public, permissionless, decentralized pillars of Bitcoin, which make it valuable.
Yeah, I would say, if you were asking, do I think Peter Schiff understands Bitcoin and how it works, I would definitely agree with that. He doesn't seem to understand very much about how it works, to be honest with you.
Because I think some of the criticisms that he levies against Bitcoin should be more rightly levied against some pretenders to the throne, some cryptocurrencies that really aren't really cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
And that's another show entirely.
Definitely. I thought Pomp trapped Peter Schiff a few other times. One other one I thought was pretty funny was Pomp asked if a digital asset has value. Peter Schiff said no. And then Pomp said, how about a digital song? And Peter Schiff just got confused again. Obviously, a digital song or a digital video or a digital art file or photo has value. And either Peter Schiff doesn't understand that, or he didn't see what kind of intellectual trap Pomp sent for him. But again, he just kind of looked silly during the debate the whole time, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, think about this podcast, for example. People listening now, we're about 40 minutes into this episode, and, you know, it has some value. You might not be able to place an exact dollar amount on it. We're not selling this on the, you know, the Apple store or anything like that. But it has value in terms of people are willing to spend their own time and energy listening to it and consuming it. So there's something that is intrinsically, it's difficult to put your finger on where the value is here, but there is nevertheless some sense of value. And just because you can't necessarily see it or place your finger on it doesn't mean that it isn't valuable. And I think that Peter Schiff knows that deep down. I think he's, you know.
Yeah. And I think...
just trolling us.
Yeah, let's talk about another thing that actually... Yeah, I think he now works for Gold Money as like an affiliate, preferred affiliate. But he used to have Schiff Gold. And I think he stopped that to do this, maybe because it was more lucrative. But actually, if you go online, he accepts Bitcoin for gold. And
yeah, he's like, they talked about BitPay. Yeah,
yeah, and he's like, yeah, we don't accept Bitcoin. We work with BitPay, and they accept the Bitcoin. They give us dollars. I think that's a really weak argument that, oh, we don't accept Bitcoin. We let someone else accept Bitcoin for us and give us dollars. I mean, that's a kind of a weaselly way of getting out of that argument, I think.
Yes, it is indeed. And, you know, that's exactly what his gold money, or might not be his. I'm not sure whose it is, actually. I think he's definitely heavily involved with it. But the gold money card does exactly the same thing. You're not spending gold when you're using the gold money card. You're spending US dollars. So all of the, you know, all of the things that he claims that gold money can do, well, that's what BitPay is doing. And BitPay is just helping consumers spend Bitcoin. And gold money is just helping consumers spend gold. They're doing the same thing. But for him to say that gold is better because it's his and Bitcoin isn't good just because, that doesn't seem to make any sense, you know?
Yeah. Well, like you said, he hammered the same things. Intrinsic value, it's been, you know, used for thousands of years. Well, there are innovations. Like Palm said, things change. The cars now are better than they were, you know, 100 years ago, and the planes now are much better. Things change, things improve. And like we talked in a previous episode, crypto is kind of that new revolution in money, whether it's Bitcoin or some asset-backed cryptocurrency, maybe a gold-backed blockchain. But yeah, it's a revolution. And yeah, he either doesn't understand it or pretends he doesn't understand it. I think you're right. Peter Schiff knows how to get publicity. And like some famous politicians we know, a lot of them believe any publicity is good publicity, whether it's bad or good. If you're on the news, if you're on TV, that helps your brand, that helps you get your message out.
Yeah, and I actually think I can imagine a not too distant future where Peter Schiff comes full circle, does his like coming to Jesus moment, realizes cryptocurrency is valuable, and then surprise, surprise, gold money has its own blockchain, and you can do the transactions on the gold money blockchain, and the, you know, it's backed by gold. So you've got some providers of blockchains right now that do have gold backed currency. I think DigixDAO is one of them, and there are a bunch of others. Some you know, might be scams, some might not be. This is not investment advice, just do your own research. And you know, we're not giving you advice here, but we are saying that the fact that he's willing to go on these shows that in itself he's thinking, you know, there is some value in the cryptocurrency community. You know, even if he can't see all the people, he knows that, you know, the community itself has a large and passionate following.
Yeah, and
helps his cause.
He's keeping his name in the news for sure. Because, yeah, if he didn't think it was helpful, he'd just ignore Bitcoin. He wouldn't tweet about it all the time.
Yeah. A lot of these people that say that they're anti-Bitcoin, they're not really.
Yeah. Yeah, or that would
just,
be...
You know, they're just pretending to be.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny if we found out that he, with BitPay, he was getting paid out 50% in Bitcoin, and he's just been hodling and accumulating it like a madman.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great. It'd be fantastic. And, you know, more power to him if he does. So I think eventually he will come around to it, and he will see the benefit of what cryptocurrency can add to his business, in fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the closing arguments. We don't want our reaction video to be longer than the original debate. Peter Schiff basically said, to sum it up, like a religion, greed clouds their judgment. When talking about Bitcoin and belief in it and belief that it's valuable and that it will go up in value. And Pump hit back pretty hard, and he kind of paraphrased Satoshi, and he basically said, if Peter doesn't get it by now, I don't have time. And I think that was a great way to end it. And he also mentioned to Peter Schiff, if you're 100% confident, yeah, you shouldn't buy Bitcoin. But if there's a 10% chance, 5% chance, 2% chance, 1% chance you're wrong, you have to have at least some of your portfolio in Bitcoin, because it's a non-correlating asset. And the upside, the asymmetrical upside, is so big that it would be crazy not to. And yeah, I just think that either Peter is putting out a strong case, even though he knows that Bitcoin has some strong points, like you think, or maybe he's just, you know, he's bitter that he didn't invest when he could have at $10. Maybe he's suffering from severe cognitive dissonance. But yeah, it's only time will tell, I guess. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that Pomp won the debate. I think that closing line was a great way to you know, round it out. He made some massive points, and he backed it up with much better data and facts, and they were largely ignored by Schiff. But then I think that that mic drop moment at the end was enough for him to seal the deal and win the debate hands down.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, I don't have anything else to add. Do you have any other closing comments, Josh? Or
we should do some reaction videos like this, our reaction podcasts in the future. When there's something of this magnitude, we should get the dramatic music on.
Yeah, and I think Pomp made some good points about Bitcoin that I think also apply to our podcast, you know, or our little Dark Side of the Hodl Moon crypto show. You know, if we get that network effect and that lock-in, hold on to your blockchain, because things are going to get crazy.
Yes, exactly. So we hope you enjoyed this week's episode. It was something a bit different. Let us know in the comments below. Remember to subscribe, hit that subscribe button, and, you know, join our community on Coin Hustle on Facebook. So we're happy to engage with the audience. We hope you're enjoying the show so far. Any feedback, we're happy to field your questions, and we're very straightforward, interactive guys. So
yeah, definitely. Fire up your rockets and meet us on our base on the dark side of the Hodl Moon.
Thank you for joining us on Dark Side of the Hodl Moon. If you haven't already subscribed, please do so. Also, be sure to join our Telegram group, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and follow us on BitChute and YouTube, where you can find all the episodes as well as highlights from previous episodes. You can also visit us at darksideofthehodlmoon.com.